was celebrated, or has been celebrated, by the Jewish people for over a millennium. Pentecost is the Greek name for the Israelite festival of weeks. The festival is called 50th in Greek because it occurred 7 weeks or 50 days after the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Passover. Originally, it was an agricultural feast, but over time, it evolved into a feast commemorating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Look how Luke portrays this in Acts. He takes the reconstituted 12 disciples. I say that because Matthias has been picked to replace Judas. And together with a group numbering 120, and he brings them together, reminiscent of the Jews gathered at the foot of the Mount Sinai. And as he begins the excerpt that we heard today, sounds from heaven fill the whole house, like the shaking of the whole mountain in Exodus. And then the tongues of fire appear, which symbolize the appearance of God on Mount Sinai. The appearance of fire makes us think back to the words of John the Baptist when he said, Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke also runs a parallel with Jesus and Moses, since Jesus has just ascended on a cloud on Ascension Thursday. Moses ascended to the peak of Mount Sinai. Jesus sends to his disciples the Holy Spirit to enlighten them, just as Moses gave the Israelites the privileged communication of God's word, the Ten Commandments. So where did this Pentecost take place? I mean, Luke just says they were gathered in one place. In their book, Waking with God, a book, by the way, I would recommend to everyone who is interested in some basic and enlightening biblical reading, the authors address this in a very interesting way. Luke says, 10 days after the ascension, the disciples were gathered in one place. Artists have depicted this one place as being the upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, but this seems unlikely, since the upper room would have had to have been immense to hold 120-plus people. Instead, think of the events that follow our reading today that we've heard over the years. A large crowd gathers, drawn by the noise and commotion surrounding the appearance of the tongues of fire. Some 3,000 were gathered and baptized on the first Pentecost day. So what would be a fitting place, a fitting location for the disciples to be gathered in worship and prayer that could accommodate such a large crowd and have enough water to baptize 3,000 people? The house where they gathered was most likely the Lord's house. We know from other readings that the apostles went there often to meet and pray. The large courts of the temple were a favorite gathering place for the Jewish people from nations all around the world. Anytime they were in Jerusalem to celebrate any feast. And just outside the gates of the temple were a network of cisterns for ritual washing that would have provided an excellent place for the baptism of the new converts. And there's another part of the story that makes the temple a likely place for this event. And the logic comes from the Old Testament, the story of the destruction of Solomon's temple in 587 BC. Just before the destruction of the temple, the prophet Ezekiel had a vision of God's Spirit leaving the temple because of Israel's sins. And later on, the prophet predicts that God's Spirit will one day return to be with God's people, and he will return at the temple. Since the people's return from the exile of Babylon with Ezra and Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the temple, there had been no visible manifestation of God's return to the temple. Like that was seen at the first temple. The first temple, God came in a cloud. But now, at long last, God has returned to his temple. He's pouring out the Holy Spirit upon all those who believe in his Son Jesus, thus fulfilling Ezekiel's prophetic vision. The Jewish Pentecost celebrated the gift of the law, which is the centerpiece of Judaism. Now the Holy Spirit is poured out and will become the center and the source of life for the new Israel. This event transforms the Feast of Pentecost. We tend to think of the church, firstly, as a worldwide institution, and then kind of as the local church, as the local office, so to speak. which is why we seem to have tremendous concern with making sure that everything is the same. Hence the old arguments for Latin, or troubles every time we get a new translation of the Mass. But Luke himself would have welcomed a gathering such as we have here today in the Poca Mass. Luke assumed that we would be bonded together not only by common rituals and books, but by a broader vision that could testify that the new covenant sealed by Jesus at the Last Supper meant that Christ, through us, was offering his risen life to every human. We are members of the church, and because of that, we become part of the mystical body of Christ.